You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Could you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our conversation. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so glad you're here, and I'm thankful that I'm here, and I'm grateful that our guest is here today. Honored guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Julie Lam. I'm a writer who initiated Not Together America. Since 2020, we have been COVID advocacy group raising awareness on social media.
Wonderful. Thank you for the good work that you're doing. I hope someone has thanked you for doing it, but we certainly thank you for doing it, and we thank you for joining us today as well. What does Mask Together America mean?
That's a good question. Well, it was created in 2020, at a time when we don't really have many options in protecting ourselves from this horrible virus.
Right.
At that time, even WHO was asking people to hold back on masking. Mm. And that's when we were created. The minute we learned that masking can help, and I learned from lots of medical providers that you need to wear your mask to protect yourself from the airborne virus. So very early on, I double masked and started taking pictures of people wearing masks to raise awareness, to encourage people to do that. Because at the time, we didn't have vaccine. That's not an option.
Right.
And we always know that the air ventilation is a big component in spreading viruses. Like if we don't have, good ventilation, and the virus can stay in the air much longer. So we need circulation of air, like opening windows and stuff. But, unfortunately, that was not, the priority of the public health messaging until recently. That we're hearing more from the CDC talking about ventilation, but still it's hardly enough to allow the public to understand the importance of ventilation in reducing viral loads in the air. And we always know that virus spread in packed train cars or inside a plane, and people travel and they don't cover, themselves when they cough and sneeze. And this is the case now, it's actually much more risky than 2020 when everyone were mandated to wear masks. Now you hardly see people wearing masks, and even doctors and nurses are not wearing masks in healthcare facilities. Or they wear these loose surgical masks, and that's falling off their nose and mouth, and so they're not really protecting anybody at all. So lots of patients are very vulnerable. They are skipping preventive care, even mammograms, because they're afraid of catching COVID and developing these debilitating long COVID conditions.
Wow, there's so much important in what you're saying. What do you want to know? What do you want people who are listening, our friends, to know about wearing a mask right now, today?
I want people to understand is the public health messaging is telling people to vax and relax. That is wrong. I want people to remember that even though you are vaccinated, can that's kind of like, you know, the flu shot. You can still get the flu and you can still spread it. So COVID is 10,000 times more dangerous. You don't want to get COVID and you don't want to spread COVID and endanger other people. So wearing a mask in a ventilated, like poorly ventilated place, which you cannot tell when you walk into a public space whether the ventilation is good or not, you can't tell, which we really actually need to regulate indoor air quality. Right now, we need our government to put in these codes and inspect public spaces to have them to meet these standards. But right now, we don't have regulations. So you cannot tell when you walk into a supermarket where you can't tell if the ventilation is good or bad. You must wear your mask. And when you're close, when you cannot social distance, people coughing right into your face. And you get it. Lots of people, you know, are complaining how, you know, even though they wear a mask, it's not protecting them enough, they still get COVID. Because, I mean, it's one-way masking is not enough. You know, the source has to be controlled. We need, like, people who are infected to stay home. That's another problem we are having right now, is that the CDC has changed the guidelines to scale back on isolation, telling people that even if you are infected and you have your symptom is improving, you can go back to work, you can go back to school, and basically spread virus everywhere to other people. And so, like, without proper isolation guidance, the public space is much more risky than before. I mean, they said that healthcare system is different. Well, healthcare providers or healthcare workers are also human. They have families. Everybody's, you know, are together in this. You can't separate one system from another.
That's right.
I mean, like, people take public transportation, and if, like, the train car is full of people having COVID, it will give it to the healthcare provider, and the healthcare provider is going to go to work and spread it to the patient. So it's absurd to say that you can have guidelines, like, different sets of guidelines in different settings. I mean, it should be a universal guidelines about indoor spaces to encourage everyone to follow the CDC's dashboard, which they show the wastewater level, the viral activities in wastewater. People should pay attention to whether, you know, it's like, what is the level, and if it's really high, everyone should take all the precautions they can have, especially when they gather with vulnerable people. They must test before gathering. And so, like, if you ask me what Mask Together America is about, like, what kind of, you know, what are we promoting? What are we recommending for people who follow our platform? We are recommending the layered approach. We are recommending people to use all the layer, all the tools to protect themselves. So you know that you can use testing to know whether you're having it. And if you're having it, you should stay home, isolate, And you should, like, we should all try to encourage employers and public buildings to have better ventilation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We should write to, you know, these companies. We should tell them, you know, use your CO2 monitors to check the CO2 level, which is a proxy in telling whether the ventilation system is working. You can tell these companies if their ventilation is working and they need to do better. They need to maintain the ventilation system. And it would be great if we can someday see actually the CO2 level in these buildings. They should publicly display these CO2 levels,
yes,
so that people,
mm-hmm,
can tell whether the ventilation is good or not. But,
mm-hmm,
always, like, keep your mask around if you go anywhere. Because,
mm-hmm,
like, if you're outdoor, you're distancing from other people, you're pretty safe. You don't have to wear a mask. But if you go indoor and you have underlying condition and you don't want to get COVID, basically, everyone's vulnerable. Even a mild infection can lead to long COVID.
Wow.
90% of the long COVID cases come from mild infection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you shared all this with us, and I'm outstandingly glad that you just said that, because I'm seeing a lot of people on social media posting that they're sick all the time. Their children are sick all the time. They can't shake this cough, or they can't shake this weird flu that they have or something like that, and then turn right around and talk about COVID is mild. COVID is just like the flu. COVID is just like a cold. That sounds like misinformation and disinformation to me. So what do you want folks to know about COVID is not mild?
I think what I really want people to know, and they can get the information actually from our platform, is we share medical studies and also feature experts. Recently, we have invited Dr. Akiko Iwasaki,
mm-hmm,
who's the Sterling Professor of Yale School of Medicine.
Wow.
She's a researcher of long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And a top immunologist in our country.
Mm-hmm.
She has explained to us the multiple root causes of the wider rate of damage and disability in every organ system, brain, heart, blood vessel, lungs, eyes, gastrointestinal, skin,
mm-hmm,
I mean, you name it. And these damages and chronic conditions come from just a mild infection. And these root causes is what we really need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about viral persistence may cause inflammation and reactive dormant viruses. And she talked about immune dysregulation, and that will increase immune reactivity. Microbiome may impair your gut-brain signaling,
wow, mm-hmm,
and metabolic regulation, and also inflammation of blood vessels by blood clotting. And also long COVID is also some of that is by nerve inflammation,
mm-hmm,
and it affects your mitochondrial dysfunction. So it's all kinds of root causes. And it causes a lot of different kinds of autoimmune disorders.
Wow. That is very powerful information to
I
know.
I think that's the autoimmune disorder,
mm-hmm,
issue, because I developed two long COVID conditions from getting infected in 2021. Christmas time, you know, that Omicron wave.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was fully vaccinated, I still developed long COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And one of the conditions is Sjogren's syndrome. So COVID-19 triggered Sjogren's antibody in me and gave me severe dry eye.
Oh, my.
lots of people talk about eye issues after they had COVID.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So long COVID eyes, I'll explain to you, is how debilitating that is. It's basically a disability.
Mm-hmm.
I first experienced that when I was driving, and it suddenly flared up, and my eyes has shooting pain.
Oh.
And makes me, you know, dizzy and, like, need to pull over in the middle of a highway.
Oh, my.
So I learned that I cannot drive, but that's not it. There's no cure to this. It's shocking when you learn that you have a chronic illness. When the doctor talks to you about, you know, testing you for the condition, and you test it high with these antibodies, and then what's next?
Mm-hmm.
When you learn that you will forever lose your ability to get better,
mm-hmm.
that's the bad news that you have, that will forever stay with you. That's what chronic illness means.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, it's not just that it has no cure, but you become an experiment. The doctor will experiment you with all kinds of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the medications that the doctor tried on me was a nose spray. And I used it for a few days. It caused my brain to have hallucination and insomnia.
Oh.
I went back to the doctor and say, you know, what's going on with this? It's not giving me, like, It initially I felt like, oh, my eyes are clear, I could see. But then the chemical stayed in my brain and caused me not able to sleep and have hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much scarier than the symptom itself. So I have to stop taking that medication. It took like a couple of weeks to clear the chemical out of my brain.
Mm. Wow.
We need to talk about long COVID also as organ damage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am a victim of organ damage by long COVID. I got COVID and it exacerbated my underlying condition.
Mm-hmm.
I had a mild indolent chronic kidney autoimmune disorder called IgAN.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really need any, like, it was well maintained with, like, just medication.
Okay.
But COVID caused it to flare up. I have, like, a relapse with hematuria, like, bleeding from my kidneys. And it caused it to have, like, leaked protein. And what happened is that I need to up my medication. It went from stage one to stage two. And one of the medications that the doctor prescribed for me cost nearly 16,000 bottle per month.
Oh my.
16,000. I'm not kidding you.
Oh. Wow.
I think our government is now talking about, you know, drug pricing control. They're working on many different kind of medication. I don't know when they're going to start to get onto, you know, this particular drug that treats a rare disease that I'm having. But I'm just telling people, you know, you don't know what kind of your health condition. You might be having some mild underlying condition, but you can get on the fast track after getting a viral infection after getting COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to joke about, you know, like, keep getting COVID over and over. Also, lots of studies have proven that multiple infections will greatly increase the chance of long COVID.
Wow. Hearing your personal journey is so helpful. Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty and your candor and your transparency and your authenticity in all of this, because yours is a very important voice, and it certainly shows your dedication in creating Mass Together America and helping other people to understand what's happening. Is anything at all being done about long COVID?
Well, have you heard of the NIH Recover Program?
I have not.
Okay. So in 2020, our government has poured in $1.15 billion mm-hmm. into this Recover, a research initiative
mm-hmm.
At the National Institute of Health that's sponsored by NIH.
Mm-hmm.
So after 4 years, the Biden administration has added recently $550 million to the research initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not really seeing what we need to address the crisis
mm-hmm.
because people are still getting COVID. People, lots and lots of people have been disabled. As a matter of fact, 22 million Americans are suffering from long COVID right now.
Wow.
And so lots of advocacy organizations come together and pressure the government to have a bigger budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard that Senator Bernie Sanders has come out and talked about this moonshot proposal.
Right, okay.
Yes. So he's proposing $1 billion per year for 10 years to address the crisis.
Hmm. Okay.
But let's put it in perspective.
Yes, please.
Because we all know that our country, like in March, our Congress just passed and President Biden signed a $825 billion military budget bill for fiscal 2024.
Okay.
$825 billion.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, I believe that we need to declare long COVID as a national emergency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We already have 22 million Americans suffering from long COVID, and the economic loss is in trillions.
Mm.
So we really need to address this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the proposal, which I'm just going through it, you know, because it just came out yesterday.
Okay.
Touched many different areas, including, you know, data collection, including data, including research, including
mm-hmm.
Education, provider training,
mm-hmm.
and awareness.
Okay.
Public education and outreach campaign, mm-hmm. which that's what Mass Together America is about. So we are actually working on a letter to share our feedback with them.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to fight for patients because
yes.
there's a mm-hmm. lot of gaslighting
mm-hmm.
and providers are not aware of, you know, they really need to understand what is long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is there's no FDA approved treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, without FDA approved treatment, we are also talking about patients suffering from not able to get insurance coverage for
right.
their medication. Mm-hmm. Like, for my condition, I wasn't able to get the insurance, health insurance, to cover the medication. And that forced me to apply for patient assistance, and you have to disclose a lot of information to a pharmaceutical company. You
right.
want to do that. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that is that you just don't know whether this is sustainable as well. I mean, basically, when you have chronic illness and you're dependent on the medication, that's mm-hmm. for life. So what if they say, you know, a year from now, they said you have to pay up. They stopped the patient assistance program.
Oh, wow.
And you're home. So people need to understand what is long COVID. They need to understand is that it affects multiple organ systems. So we really need to have all kinds of treatments for different body parts.
Yes, absolutely.
And people need comprehensive care.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, I have to see, like, nearly 10, I don't remember exactly, but I've seen all kinds of specialists. My doctor sent me to see neurologists, two eye doctors, sleep studies. I have sleep study. I have to see sleep doctors and cardiologists, pulmonary specialists. I mean, all these doctors come together to help me find cure, find diagnosis. It's just all very complicated. That's what comprehensive care means. People, mm-hmm. patients get bounced around in this crazy maze, healthcare maze.
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
idea where they can find cure, where they can get better. And a lot of times, like, you just draw a blank looking at these doctors. They look at you, you look at them, and they say, we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lots of people suffer from ME/CFS and POTS.
Yes.
That's very difficult to get diagnosis. I mean, they look at you and check your blood work. Everything looks fine. They send you home. But you're not fine. You're very tired. You're sick all the time. You have no energy. You're dizzy. You're fainty. And nobody can help you.
Right. Oh, wow. This is so powerful. And again, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your insider knowledge of all of this. I think it's not what we're hearing, right, when we turn on the news or when we hear from other agencies and things, public health and all. They're not talking deeply about these things like you are. We have to go to commercial for just a moment. But as we do, would you tell us so that folks can follow you on social media? Can you tell us what platforms, what they should do in order to get involved with what you're doing?
Yes, absolutely. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Threads.
Okay.
So our handle is Mask Together America, no space.
Okay.
But on Twitter, which is X, you will need to follow Together We Mask.
Okay.
Also no space.
Great. Okay.
And when we come back, I need to talk about a program that's ending, and
yes.
we urgently need everyone to take action with us to try to save this program.
Awesome. That's exactly what we'll do. We'll be right back after these messages.
Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all and never look back. What's the world forgave you?
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs.
or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
We are having a truly transparent and vital conversation today, and our guest is phenomenal. Would you please reintroduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Hi, I'm Julie Lam. I'm the founder of Not Together America. I am an artist, a photographer and writer who initiated this advocacy group. We are all volunteers at Mass Together America. We have been raising awareness about COVID and long COVID, sharing people's stories and sharing medical studies and featuring scientists and patients since 2020.
Marvelous.
And one more thing is, our mission is to fight disinformation and also mm-hmm. help people stay informed about COVID-19 and how to prevent it.
Right. Yes, prevention is the best cure. I really believe that about so many things in life, and COVID is definitely one of them. And so you have a urgent situation that you're very passionate about. Would you please share that with us?
Yes. So prevention has many different levels.
Yes.
Prevention is like the best way to prevent long COVID is not to get COVID at all.
That's right.
But if you actually get COVID and you get a timely diagnosis and get, you know, treatment and care right away,
mm-hmm.
then you have a better chance of getting better.
Wow.
And prevent severe illness.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, we have been working together with our community to try to save this NIH-sponsored program, which is called Test to treat.
Mm.
Home test to treat.
Okay.
This program offer free tests to enrollees. And who can enroll to this program? They are people who are uninsured, or if they have Medicaid, Medicare, Indian Health Service, or veteran coverage. So not only can these enrollees get free tests, they also get timely telehealth, which, you know, you can call the doctor and they will give you evaluation. And this is not just for COVID. It's also for flu. So you can get the prescription for treatment in a timely manner without leaving home at all.
Wow.
All free, all covered by this program.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they're closing it now.
Oh,
and
oh
on
my.
Top of like enrollees being able to get this, even anyone, even if you have private insurance,
oh,
if
wow.
you tested positive,
uh-huh.
you can still get free telehealth and treatment for COVID and flu from this, from test2treat.org.
Oh, how you, helpful.
Right. But unfortunately, they are closing this.
Oh, no.
By April 16th.
Oh, my.
So that's only 6 days from now.
Right.
You will not be able to. I found out when I saw the Instagram post talking about, you know, that the ending
mm-hmm.
on April 16th. I actually called them up and I asked, like, why are you ending? What will happen to all these people that
right.
are enrolled to the program?
Right.
And Dr. Judy Stone, who is a medical contributor of Forbes magazine, actually did some investigation. She talked to the NIH director of the program and found out that they're actually, like, over 60,000 people.
Oh, my.
I think, let me just double check.
And see, this is amazing because...
Yeah, over 60,000 people have enrolled in this, and mostly
wow.
uninsured
mm-hmm.
or underinsured people.
Oh, wow.
What will
wow.
happen to them?
That's right.
I wrote to them and I asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what these people are going to do.
Mm.
I mean, lots of people are really dependent on this
mm-hmm.
because it's so easy for you to get treatment. You tested positive. The doctor for the telehealth will just ask you to send a picture of your test, and then they will get you a prescription and you can get the Paxlovid.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that this is happening to people because I really think a lot of folks weren't even aware of this great program or really weren't familiar with it to start with.
Yes, we should all pay attention to this. I just talked to someone who's a native person. She reminded us that, you know, 78% of native people don't live in reservation.
That's right.
And these people cannot get the test. The test kits provided for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you're talking about telehealth as well, and you're talking about treatment as well.
That's right.
And even though the government is trying to tell people that you can go to the to Pfizer, the manufacturer, to apply for patient assistance program.
Mm.
But this is a much better program and much
sure.
safer because, like, you have already enrolled to a program. It's just a phone call away when
right.
you're sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to deal with the hassle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, you know, seeing a doctor is a complicated thing for a lot of people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Access to care is complicated in this country. That's why ER is so crowded.
Oh, no.
That's
yes.
why we have a wait.
That's
everyone's
right.
swarmed into the ER, and you can be sick with you can be sick with a heart disease, but sit, like right next to you in the ER ward could be someone having COVID.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And see, I'm also interested in this for so many other reasons, too, because people's transportation, right? I'm thinking about folks in rural areas who it
yes.
may take hours to get to a clinic or to get to some place that can actually help you. There are people who don't have cars, and if you're sick, maybe they don't feel like, you know, getting on public transportation if they're terribly, terribly ill. And then there are people who simply it's hard to get a doctor's appointment. It takes time. It takes, you know, oh, we can't see you today. We'll see you next week or whatever. Even if with private insurance, sometimes it's hard to get a doctor. And then your doctor has to know and believe and have access to whatever it is that you need. If you have, in many areas, there are doctors who don't really believe COVID is that big of a deal. Otherwise,
exactly.
We'd have more masking in healthcare. So this program allows people to just, get better, start the process of being treated without all the imaginary hurdles. So what is your organization doing about losing test to treat?
We created a letter campaign on Action Network and encouraged everyone to write to the government officials, write to President Biden, write to our vice president. We encourage everyone to write to the government and ask them to save test to treat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how can we all get involved? How can we take some action right now?
If you go to our social media platform, you will see a lot of posts that we have posted about test2treat.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can follow us and get the link, or I'm not sure how to share it on your podcast with the link.
Well, they can visit your social media sites, right?
Yes, they can visit our social media sites.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we are also partnering with ME ActionNet.
Okay.
They are co-sponsoring this as well because they know that, you know, this is a fight for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
especially for people who are already suffering from viral syndrome. They don't want to get reinfection and they
right.
want to get treated right away. They have a very good taste of, like, the outcome of severe illness from COVID.
Oh,
and
wow.
So these people really want to get treated right away. And they know that they don't want to spread it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Home test to treat is really a great program
mm-hmm.
to prevent community spread.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about if you have to call a friend to drive you
mm-hmm.
when you are already sick
mm-hmm.
and having symptoms. Who wants to drive you?
Mm. Wow. And see, that is so powerful to think about these other layers, the underlife of COVID, right? Like, yes, there is the virus, and yes, someone is sick, but now you're thinking about maybe a whole family is involved, and we don't have good treatments or even great vaccines for small children. You're thinking about people, you know, losing time from work, infecting other members of their community and their family if they have to go. I mean, this is just shocking to me, the way that we have been.
Exactly. That's why the whole idea is to have this program.
Right, yeah.
You know, this program should be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
We are asking this, you know, government official to save this program, but we would love if this program would actually expand to
yes.
include providing free masks as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when someone is testing positive, you send them the prescription, you can also send them masks
mm-hmm.
and so that they can wear the N95 masks to protect themselves from spreading to other people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lots of people cannot afford high-quality masks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, it's really perfect. Like, if they get a free mask, they're going to wear that mask because they have to be in healthcare facilities if they go see a doctor,
mm-hmm.
if they go to a pharmacist to pick up the Paxlovid or flu treatment. I mean, all of that, you know, is a very thoughtful program that can be expanded. And it would be great if it's not just limited to people who are in the highly at-risk populations, but to expand it to include more people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure all Americans would love to have this program if they know about it.
Of course, of course. I wonder, too, you know, one of the things I hear a lot, and it always concerns me, is that people try to make a really big distinction between vulnerable people, high-risk people, and themselves. And I'm thinking that a lot of people who think, oh, this happens to sick or unhealthy, unwell, vulnerable, high-risk people over there, or that ethnic group over there, or those people who live in that kind of area, or these people in this particular social economic class, are actually making a dangerous, dangerous distinction, because everyone is literally just steps away from being disabled or becoming high risk. Some people don't even know they're high risk. They're thinking, oh, I'm in perfect health because they look good and they can get around pretty well or whatever, and they don't even know that there's something going on in their bodies that might be exacerbated by COVID. Vulnerable people are children and babies, right? Young people.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I want us all to think about that. This is not something, this is not a virus that happens to them over there, those people who are like that. This is an equal opportunity threat. This is a danger to anyone and everyone, I really believe. I think there's a, and we have to stop talking about, okay, those people that are high risk should just hide in their house, and the rest of us will go do whatever we want to do, and start thinking that this is community care, that, you know, if something happens to one of us, it's happening to all of us, if we think about it in the right way.
Absolutely. That's why we need to have clean air policy.
Yes.
We need to, our country really needs to do a lot more to make public spaces safe for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a cultural change. Spreading sickness is not okay.
Right. That's right. And I never thought we'd come to a point where we have to say that. Like, I never thought we'd come. I mean, polio, you know, I have an aunt and a cousin who had polio and recovered from it, and it left its toll in their lives. And when this started, I was talking to my aunt about it when COVID arrived. And she's like, we have to do everything. We have to shut this down. We cannot let this just run rampant through our country. And she was saying that as a polio survivor who had a really understood it. She said, they closed the playgrounds. They closed the schools. They closed the pools. People stayed at home. They did what they had to do. Everyone got vaccinated. Yes, there were some anti-vaxxers even back then. But everyone was like, okay, we want polio gone. We want it gone. And they all work together. And she's been baffled how this melted down, you know, into like political divisions and social divisions, and people are angry at each other for wearing a mask. And I mean, this is unbelievable, really. So,
yeah. And you were talking about, like, right now, like what you just said is everyone is vulnerable.
Everyone.
And it can hit anyone, anytime. But there's one more thing that, you know, they're trying to dismiss and bury, it's the truth, is that asymptomatic spread is how this virus spread.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to have symptoms.
That's right.
To test positive. And you can be pre-symptomatic. Your symptom hasn't shown up full-blown, and then you spread it to your coworkers. You spread it to other children in the school. You send your kids who are mildly sick to school, and they spread it to the entire class.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
mild symptoms or asymptomatic spread, it's how this virus becomes so out of control. That's why always have new waves.
Mm-hmm.
And the virus is continually mutating.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know whether this virus is going to mutate into a more deadly form.
Mm-hmm.
And then by then, you know, we will have no infrastructure to keep people safe at all because we are removing everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested. As an Indigenous lady, pandemics and genocide are why there are so few of us in Native America. I mean, pandemics really mean something to us. We understand it. We get it.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying to me. So what can all of us do with whatever resources we personally might have? Maybe, you know, maybe we can't wait on some other entity to come and save us. Maybe we can't get anybody to rescue us. But what action can we
take? I urge everyone to raise awareness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I really want to push our country to have an anti-COVID campaign. Mm. It is time for our country to embrace prevention.
Yes.
We don't have health care for all. Medicine is extremely unaffordable for people who have no insurance or underinsured. Mm-hmm. We need health equity. And health equity means prevention.
Mm-hmm.
We have to prevent spreading the sickness. And the only way to do this is we need to have an education campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We need our country to invest in a campaign to have information translated in multiple languages, because we have people that speak all kinds of language, and we need to reach all these people. And we must talk about long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We need to give the floor to patients who are suffering from long COVID, who are mm-hmm. having these autoimmune disorder, who are always tired, who have been disabled by the disease, to talk about their suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if Americans learn the true causes of death, and they understand that, you know, COVID can trigger all kinds of chronic illness, they will take precautions.
Yes. Yes. I appreciate you saying this so much and sharing all of it, because I believe that the work you're doing is absolutely necessary, and I'm so thankful that you are doing it. As we close, would you please remind us one more time how folks can connect with you, become part of what you're doing, follow you on social media? What can we do?
We are always featuring anyone who would like to share their stories and mitigation tips, like how they protect themselves and their families. We share true stories on our platform. So if anyone wants to get in touch with us and send us messages, we will figure out a way to, you know, work with you to send a message together. And at the same time, you know, everyone can be an advocate for COVID and long COVID.
Mm.
You learn, and then you can become a teacher yourself.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having this conversation with us. Thank you for this poignant and powerful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today and for the work that you're doing to protect us all.
Thank you so much for having me, Dawn.
Thank you to all of you who listen, who make this show possible. We appreciate you so much. We are so grateful for every friend that listens, that supports, that donates, that prays, that shares, that is part of this conversation in any way. We're grateful to our guest today, and we're thankful for all of you. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
Multitudes of people crying, asking for manna and pleading for quail, shouting, reaching, pushing, shoving, salt and oil, flour and lard. Eating is everything. Pass your basket. Have faith. He'll give us loaves and fishes. Hey.
nerves, can't sleep in the night. Once you see, you get it into a fight. At the little dog, I saw a frog. It was yellow, and then I said, hello. Then I should say goodbye, cause I can't go tonight.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.